Well, I do welcome you here to St. Mark's to worship this morning. My name is Brian Falls. I'm an elder, and I get to lead the worship this morning. Pastor Bob is traveling with his bride and at least one of their kids. I asked Janine this week if any of the kids were going, and I think two of them might be. So we'll pray for Pastor Bob and Janine and the kids as they travel to the D.C. area. We'll pray that they have a safe travel and that Pastor Bob is renewed during this time off. We do have several other prayer requests this morning, and it is with a very heavy heart that many of us learned this week that Darwin Krause went to be at rest with his father this week. There was a tractor accident earlier this week, and he did pass away. And so please do take time this week to keep him and the Krauses in your prayers. It is right to be sad and grieve when we lose a husband, a father, a grandfather, and a friend. It is also right to maintain hope in the resurrection. We don't have to be sad for Darwin. He's home. But we are sad ourselves as we remember him this week. There will be a funeral here June 1st. That's a Wednesday morning at 9:30 with a visitation the prior evening, Tuesday the 31st. There will be a private burial for the family at Jefferson Barracks later that day. And due to scheduling, there's not going to be any kind of a luncheon or anything, but there will be some pastries and a fellowship time Wednesday morning. So we do ask that you join us if you're able to remember Darwin and praise God for his 92 plus years of life and all of the people that he touched. I told Jerry this morning that not many 35-year-olds can say they have a 92-year-old friend, but I certainly did, and his legacy lives on in his family and also in his church, because this was his second home, and he loved being here. I just saw him Sunday, and I would have planned to see him tomorrow evening at an elders meeting because he still was an active elder. If you don't know Darwin, he was the older gentleman who would have been handing out bulletins when you came in. And so we do miss him, and we remember his family in our prayers this morning. Additionally, we pray for Mary Borgschulte in Dorwood as her pain continues. Please give those prayers and drop a card or something, some encouragement to them in the mail if you can. Alex Teuscher, the last time I knew, was hospitalized with pneumonia, and his body really struggles to fight off these infections. So we're going to pray for Alex and the Teuschers. And Pastor Bob forwarded a last-minute prayer request for Zach Bergman as well, that he was on his way to the hospital in Denver this morning, last time we knew. We're going to keep him and his family in our prayers. With all that, let's start our worship this morning in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father God, you bring us here to worship this morning with sad hearts because of loss, but with hopeful hearts because of the resurrection. Lord, allow us to focus on that eternal life that you've given us through the Holy Spirit, through our baptism, and through the Holy Communion that we get to partake in today. Allow us to eagerly anticipate that day when we get to be with you again, and help us carry out your mission as your church. We pray for Pastor Bob, Janine, and his family as they travel. Keep them safe. And we pray for Darwin's family as they mourn this week. We pray for Mary and Dorwood, and we also pray for Zach Bergman and Alex Teuscher. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you all please stand? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Now, Pastor Bill is going to come forward and announce that absolution to us.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now join in singing.
Majesty. Each month, we focus on a different hymn from the past, and this week, our hymn is Holy, Holy, Holy. Of course, we have a twist on it, but each week, we focus on a different aspect of that hymn, and this week, we are focusing on what this means as Christians. First, we can have the assurance that God has the power over everything. The Almighty controls time, the plan for our lives, and everything else in the universe. When everything seems in limbo or chaos, Christians can rest in the fact that God has, literally, the whole world in his hands. Second, we can rest in the fact that we have a holy God. Unlike so-called deities of ancient cultures, he does not change based on emotions or whims or circumstance. Perfect and without fault, he will not shift in character. Always honest, always sinless, always holy. No one else can take care of all of creation quite like God can. Third, our relationship with Christ can lead to imputed holiness. We cannot enter heaven because our sin separates us from God. But through Christ's holiness, God will see Christ in us as we enter. He sees that holiness and will allow us to spend an eternity with him. Please be seated.
Early in the morning. Good morning.
I'm Kevin Chigg, one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first scripture reading is from John chapter 16, verses 23 to 33. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father for on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things, and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied. "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that you may so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This is the word of the Lord.
And now if the children would come down, Pastor Bill has a special message just for you.
Hi. Do you know how to pray? Do you know how to fold your hands and bow your heads? That's pretty easy, isn't it? You know what prayer is? Prayer is talking to God. Is that a wonderful privilege? Can you talk to the president? No. But God is even better than the president. He's more powerful, and he wants to hear from you. And that's what he talked about in the text we just read. He says, sometimes you don't have because you don't ask. You don't come and ask me. How many of you like candy bars? Raise your hand. You like candy bars? Raise your hand. You got to come down here if you want a candy bar. Okay. Do any of you allergic to candy bars where you can't eat it? Anybody here allergic to chocolate? Well, hello, Oscar. My goodness. Were you tempted? Uh-huh. Okay. Now, is anybody allergic to chocolate that they can't eat chocolate? Everybody? Wonderful. Okay, now, I got cookies in here, so you can leave the cookies alone, but the candy bars are for you. But first, you have to get in line and then ask me. Okay? Ask me? Yes, you may. If you ask, you will receive. That's what Jesus said in the text today. Are you going to ask me? You want a cookie? Okay. Can you ask? Can you say please?
Please?
Okay. Can you say please? Girls, you want a candy bar? If you ask, you can receive. That's what the lesson is about today. God wants us to talk to him. Come on. Okay. You may have it. Yes. Yes, you may. Isn't that a wonderful privilege to be able to go to God and say, God, will you help me? And he does answer us, doesn't he? Sometimes the answer might be no. You want a candy bar? Can you say please? Cat's got your tongue, huh? We'll make an exception, okay? How's that? No? Okay, don't accept gifts from strangers, right? And they don't get much stranger than me. Okay, so sometimes when we ask God for something, maybe the answer is no. And that's why I was asking about if somebody was allergic. Because if somebody is allergic and you ask for a candy bar, I'd have to say no, right? Because it wouldn't be good for you. And God isn't going to give you something that's not good for you. That's why I brought the cookies along. So that if I have to say no to a candy bar, we can give you a cookie. That's the way God works. You see, God cares about you. The text today says the Father loves you. And so he cares for you so that he will take care of you and give you what you need and what's good for you. And if it's not good for you, he's not going to give it to us, is he? Let's pray. Dear God, repeat after me. Dear God, thank you very much for always having your ears open to hear our prayers. Thank you, God, for loving us and hearing us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, put the wrappers in a wastebasket, okay? Now, we have a children's sermon or children's... What are we? Children's message. Okay. Where is the cross?
Mrs. Sutton and
there it
Maria.
Is, way in the back there.
Kids 4 years old through fourth grade can join Mrs. Sutton and Maria at the White Cross. And you can do little worship. And for the big kids, we're going to stay in here, and I'm going to say a prayer for Pastor Bill. I'm going to follow him.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah, I always need the prayer. The text for today is from the book of Revelation. I've been teaching a Revelation class out at Buford, and last Sunday I preached on the first part of chapter 21. It's a very interesting book. It's got a lot of scary stuff in it. You know, with the seven angels and the seven trumpets and the seven bowls and all these things, and it's always the nasty things that come out. And what he's talking about here is the tribulation. You know, a lot of churches teach the tribulation as though that's something that's going to happen in the future. But my friends, God is here to tell you, we live in the tribulation today, where the church is constantly under attack, where you and I are constantly under attack from the devil, the world, and our own wicked flesh. Now, God has been there to take care of us, and he's been there to send his Holy Spirit upon us through the Word and the sacraments, so that by faith we can look forward to everlasting life. And that's what chapter 21 and 22 of Revelation is all about. It's about that wonderful future that you and I have because of God's love for you and me in Jesus Christ. And the text, Revelation chapter 21, verses starting at verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. They did not see the temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. There we are. Verse 9, right before today's text, says, "Come and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And then he goes on and says, "He carried me away in the spirit to the great mountain, great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God." And what he's doing here is he's showing us the church. The church is the bride of Christ, the Lamb's bride. I'd like to read from Ephesians chapter 5. Now, this is a very special lesson in Ephesians 5. There are two letters. The first one is written to wives. You husbands aren't supposed to read that, because that's, you know, you're reading somebody else's mail then. Unfortunately, men have been reading that section of Scripture and using it to beat the wives into submission. This is the part of the Bible that says, "Wives, submit to your husband in everything." Guys, that's not written to you. That's only written to the wife, okay? This is what he has to say to you. "Husbands, love your wives." Now, how is a husband to love his wife? "Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her." Now, the church is the bride of Christ. "He gave his life for his bride." So this is what husbands should be doing. They should be giving up their life for their wife. Now, this doesn't mean fighting the Indians. Okay, we're past all that. Now, giving up your life for your bride simply means if you're planning a vacation, the bride wants to go to Washington, D.C., but Pastor Bob wanted to go to Wyoming, he gave up his life for his bride and they went to Washington, D.C. See, that's giving up your life for your bride. The husband is the head of the family. He makes the decisions, but he makes every decision in favor of his wife. Now, what else does he have to say about his wife? "Gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless, without spot or wrinkle." Does the church have spots and wrinkles? You know, I think they do. Because of the sinful world we live in today, we got a lot of spots and wrinkles, and we need Christ. We need him to clean us up, to bring us back into the condition that he wants us, to be a beautiful bride. And therefore we have this beautiful new Jerusalem coming down from heaven out of God. This is the new Jerusalem. This is the church. Notice he says, to sanctify her. What is to sanctify? You know, there's a couple of words we Christians sometimes get mixed up. We confuse sanctification and justification. What's the difference? Okay, sanctification is how holy you are, how good you are, how much God's Holy Spirit is working on you to include you in his kingdom to live the Christian life, to obey the commandments. God's Holy Spirit is in us by faith. He is motivating us so we want to obey the law. Now, we're not under the have to of the law anymore, are we? Because of what Jesus has done, we don't have to. Now we want to because of what he has done for us. And so we want to. And as we want to, we will. And as the Holy Spirit continues to work on us, this want to becomes stronger and stronger, and we become more and more sanctified. If you were to chart it, it would be jagged, wouldn't it? Because it's not a smooth ride being justified or being sanctified. Our sanctification, sometimes we're doing pretty good and we start feeling pretty good about ourselves and all, whoa, we fall back. But on the whole, there's an increase. And that increase is our sanctification, where the God's Holy Spirit has more and more influence on our lives. The other term is justification. God justified every single person in the world when Jesus died on the cross. He declared you and everybody else totally innocent. So why isn't everybody going to hell? Or why is everybody going to heaven? Well, not everybody accepts it. I'll give you an example. Early in the history of this country, George Wilson was found guilty of mail robbery and murder. He was sentenced to hang. But President Jackson pardoned him. That is to say, he justified him. George Wilson refused the pardon. What are you going to do? Are you going to hang him? Are you going to set him free? The president said he's innocent. That's what justification means. You're innocent. It went to the Supreme Court. Can you believe that? The Supreme Court ruled a pardon is only a piece of paper until it's received by the subject. In other words, if George Wilson accepted the pardon, he's free. If he refuses it, they hung him. And that's why so many people don't get into heaven, even though they've been justified, because they refused the pardon. That, my friends, is what we call the sin against the Holy Ghost, when you refuse the pardon. So justification, if you're to chart justification, it's a straight line up and down. Either you are or you aren't. Kind of like pregnancy. You can't be just a little bit. You either is or you isn't. So, when you are justified, we believe it. We have faith. Now, there's two ways of looking at justification. There's objective justification and there's subjective justification. Objective justification is from the cross. When Jesus died, everybody is declared innocent by the power of God. He has that power. Subjective justification is the conversion, being brought to saving faith, being given the faith to receive the gift of justification. So objectively, everybody, subjectively, only those who have saving faith, who truly believe that what Jesus did, he did for me too. Okay? So that kind of settles some of the problems people have with sanctification and justification. We talked a little bit about sanctification. That is to say, the holy life we live. I do a lot of funerals. And while I do not have the power to look into the heart of an individual and to say, I know this person went to heaven. However, Jesus says, you will know them by their works. We talked a little bit earlier, Brian did, about our good friend Darwin Krauss. Now, I can't look into Darwin's heart, but I can sure see the works of faith that he exemplified in his life. As that young man, stood out here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday with a big smile, wishing everyone a good day and handing them a bulletin. Always there to welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. And how many times has he stood before this lecture reading to us the first lesson of the day, like Kevin did this morning? But Darwin always had a little extra, didn't he? He had a little extra explanation of that particular text to help us be able to understand it, to share with us what that text meant to him. And how often was he sitting back there in the chapel waiting for people to come to him so he could pray with them over the problems that they were experiencing? No, we can't look into their hearts, but we can see their works. Darwin's works were not Darwin's. They were God's works, as God was working in Darwin. And we praise God for the wonderful works that he worked through Darwin. As we can see that sanctified life. In the text, he says, "Come and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, and it shone with the glory of God. The glory of God. What a beautiful future God has planned for the believers in him. What a beautiful place Darwin Krause is now, by the grace of God, that he lives. He lives eternally in the glory of God. Now, this is the church triumphant. The church triumphant, the victory that God has won through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. The church triumphant, the victor. The victory has been won for you and for me. This victory that is Jesus Christ, the salvation, life everlasting in this glorious new Jerusalem. Why do we have to have a new heaven and a new earth? The old heaven and the old earth were rotten. They were so filled with sin and debauchery. But God loves you, and he doesn't want you to have to live in that situation. You know, when I read the story in Genesis chapter 3, gee, God is mean. I mean, here he's got the tree of life right there in the garden, and he's keeping Adam and Eve from eating of the tree of life, where they could eat of that and live forever. And he wouldn't let them do it because he loved them. He did not want them to have to live forever and ever in sin, in this rotten world of sin. And so he kept us from the tree of life until we could be separated from our wicked flesh and live with him forever. And then we have access to the tree of life, to live with him forever in the church triumphant, where the victory has been won. This is the holy Christian church, the communion of saints. We talk about that in the Apostles' Creed, don't we? This is the invisible church. Invisible because you can't see it. I can't look at a person to look inside their heart to say, are they truly a Christian? I can kind of tell by their works, but I still can't look into their hearts. And that's why it's called an invisible church. There are a lot of people who claim to be Christian. When I was a pastor in North Dakota, I got a telephone call one night. A guy was experiencing a tendency toward suicide. He wanted me to take him down to the psych ward in Fargo. That was a 3-hour drive. Now, he called me at 3:00 in the morning. And he wasn't even one of my members. And so I asked him, I said, well, did you call your pastor? He said, yeah. He wouldn't take me. Yeah, 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't know, I guess I wouldn't blame him. But I got to thinking, what am I going to do if I wake up in the morning and read in the newspaper here on the radio that he had committed suicide? Okay. But now I have a captive audience for 3 hours to share the gospel of Jesus. Oh, he's a Christian though, see? He's a Christian, and he's telling me all about how it's like to be a Christian. He says, I gave my heart to Jesus. Fantastic. Okay, is he part of the invisible church, the communion of saints? I can't look into his heart, so let's question him. You gave your heart to Jesus. What does that mean? Was there a special surgical procedure you had to go through to get the heart out, to give it to Jesus? Well, no. Well, what does it mean then that you gave your heart? Well, it's like the guy on the radio says. He tells us to give our heart to Jesus, so I gave my heart to Jesus. Well, what did you do? Finally, he had to admit he didn't know what he was talking about. So that gave me the opportunity then to explain to him, what does this mean to give your heart to Jesus? It means you surrender all your values, all your priorities. Everything you think is important to you in your life, you surrender it all to Jesus and accept his ideas, his values, what he thinks is important. Can you do that? Well, no. Okay, now we can start working on it, right? You know, it's funny how people think. I had another fellow. I was a chaplain for the sheriff's department. And as I rode along on a Friday night, I asked this fella, this deputy, where do you go to church? Oh, I don't go to church, but I'm a Christian. Okay. I've heard too much of that stuff already. You're a Christian, right? Yep. That means you want to do what Christ wants you to do, right? Oh, yeah. Well, don't you think he wants you to go to church? That's a loaded question. Well, tell me, was he a Christian? You know, I did a lot of missionary work in the southwest corner of North Dakota. Knocked on thousands and thousands of doors asking people, if you were to die tonight, are you absolutely certain you're going to heaven? 90% said, no, how can anyone be sure he's done enough? So their faith wasn't in Jesus, their faith was in if they can do enough. Their faith is in themselves. 90%. Out of the other 10%, 8 to 9 said, yeah, I'm sure I'm going to heaven because I teach Sunday school, because I'm an elder in the church, because I did this or because I do that.
Or I'm sure better than that other guy.
And there again, their faith is in themselves. This is the most common form of idolatry there is. These are people who think they're Christian, but they don't have their faith in Christ. They have their faith in themselves. Are they a part of the invisible church? The Holy Christian Church? The communion of saints? Again, you can't look into their hearts. You can pray. Maybe they misspoke. But they got to work on them, don't we? We got to work on them and show them that their faith is not really in themselves. Their faith has to be in Jesus Christ and what Jesus has accomplished for them. This is the invisible church coming down out of heaven. The New Jerusalem, filled with the glory of God. The glory of God represented by light. So glorious is that light, there's no need for the sun or the moon. Because God gives it light. Now you and I, we live in the other church called the church militant. We're still struggling down here in this world filled with sin, filled with evil. But we have God's gift. We have the Word. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's that Word of God that you and I can hear, and the Holy Spirit working through the power of that Word that creates faith in your heart and mine. When we use that Word and put it to work regularly in our lives. A little over a week ago, I celebrated my 80th birthday. Just a young fella, right? I told one of my members from Havana, Illinois, I'm too young to be put out to pastor. She said, well, aren't you 80? And I said, yeah, but look at him. Moses was 80 when he just got started. And he had 40 years to go. I hope and pray the Lord will keep me active until he takes me to be with him in heaven, like Darwin. Well, my daughter texted me and she says, Dad, what do you want for your birthday? Well, I stewed on it for quite a while trying to think, okay, what do I want? That's in her price range. And then I guess the Lord was talking to me and he said, Bill, what's really going to make you happy, what's really going to, as put it in her terms, float your boat, if every member of the family would commit themselves to reading the Bible a certain number of minutes every day. What this would do to keep the family closer and closer to God through the power of that Word, through God working through His, through the Holy Spirit working through that Word, to strengthening their faith and keeping them so that I can be certain my family is going to be with me in heaven. Can you think of a better birthday gift than to have that kind of assurance? 2 years ago, matter of fact, 2 years ago today, I started reading the Bible an hour and a quarter a day. My daughter gave me a tape player or a disc player. My wife got me the Bible on disc, and each disc is an hour and a quarter. And so while I'm listening to the disc, I'm also reading the Bible, the same translation. May 22nd, exactly 2 years, and I have read through the Bible 10 times in 2 years. Is that a great sacrifice, an hour and a quarter a day? Not hardly. But look at what we glean. Look what God is giving us here as he's talking to us. And as we continue to read that over and over again, we're getting a better understanding of see how the Scripture all comes together. This is all God's wonderful Word for you and for me. To give us that faith, to strengthen that faith, and to keep that faith alive. And then we have the body of the blood of Christ, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. And he says, do this often as you drink it. Well, you know, in those days, they drank wine every day. And this is what he's talking about. He wants the sacrament celebrated regularly. The disciples celebrated it every day as they got together to break bread. And that's what that breaking bread is all about. The body and the blood of Christ, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. The body and blood to live in them, strengthening them. There's that sanctification again, isn't it? We are blessed. We have the sacrament of baptism. You know, that's not just a one-shot deal. That baptism is for us every day. I encourage people to take their baptism certificate, frame it, hang it on a wall in the bedroom so it's the last thing they see when they go to bed at night, the first thing they see when they get up in the morning, reminding them of the promise that God made to them and that they made to God. That they are washed in the waters of baptism through the power of the Word, the gift that God gives to you and to me. Where do you want to go? You want to go to hell? Or you want to go to that New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ, that glorious future that God has planned for all believers? May we truly do everything we can to keep that faith alive, to keep that faith strong, by immersing ourselves in the Word and sacraments. And where are the Word and sacraments distributed? In church. The visible church. The one you can see. So that we can remain in the invisible church forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
And now at this time, we will collect the tithes and offerings. And so if you would take a moment to fill out the attendance booklet in your pew and pass that down, and take a second to look around you. And if there's somebody you don't see or haven't seen for a few weeks, take note of that, because we want them here with us also. Thank you. If you would please stand and join me as we state our faith using the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the true faith. Christian Church, he daily, richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. And for our prayers today, we're going to pray for those same people that we talked a little bit about at the beginning of the worship service. And I also am going to add one of Darwin's daughters, Sarah, and her family to the specific prayers. She or the family will be traveling or attempting to travel in from Denmark. If you know the family, you know that her family has been there for some years now. And with COVID still an ongoing issue, international travel poses its fair share of challenges. I also wanted to add a few other things. Whenever it rains a lot, I still get anxious because of flooding. I checked the prediction graphs yesterday, and nothing is predicted to be bad flooding. Denise, you're nodding. And so there is more rain predicted this week. We really want that rain to go out west, because they are in drought, and we don't need any more of it right now. Obviously, for our leadership locally and abroad, and for the war ongoing in Europe. Oh, one more also. The school concluded Friday, and so Lauren let me know that next school year here at St. Mark's, we will be celebrating the 40th year of school ministry. So we're going to keep that in our prayers to celebrate those 39 completed years and pray for the 40th year. Father God, we thank you for this time to hear your words, to confess our sins, and to receive forgiveness, and to proclaim the one true faith that you've given us through the Holy Spirit. We thank you for Darwin's life and all of the good work that you did through him. We pray for Sarah and her family as they attempt to travel in from Denmark. We pray that flights and taxis and all the other transportation involved may run smoothly for them, and help us as a St. Mark's family to support the Krauses and to prepare for that funeral. We also pray for Alex Teuscher and his recovery in the hospital, for Zach Bergman, for Mary Borgschulte and the care that her family, in particular Dorwood, is giving her on a daily basis. We pray for some dry time here in the area so that the rivers can recede and not swell to flooding. We pray that you take that moisture out west where they desperately need it and have for many years. We pray for guidance for our local and federal leadership as we face budgets and various crises and in the world abroad. Lord, we pray for peace. We pray for all world leaders to put pride aside, to work together, and to bring peace, especially in Ukraine where there is so much death and destruction. We know even in that dark place that your gospel is a bright shining light to believers. Help your gospel to penetrate that darkness. We also pray for St. Mark's school ministry in the 39 years that that we really have supported those families and those children. Let us continue to plant seeds of faith so that those children may have lifelong faith, and so that they may have that education that takes them to do your good works in the world, whatever career that may be. Bless the 40th school year coming up, Lord, as we prepare with some teachers like Miss Fritz, as some of us know her, or Mrs. Armbruster retires, and some new teachers come on board. We thank you for all of the work that they do. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and we pray the prayer that he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now I'm going to invite Pastor Bill to come back and speak the words of the institution as we prepare for the Lord's Supper.
On the same night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took the bread, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. And I want to thank every one of you for being here, because if you weren't here, I wouldn't have the opportunity to share the word. And that sharing the word is what really makes my day. Thank you, and God bless you. I believe in the risen one.
And in fact, he does live, and we're thankful for that. Just a few brief announcements today. Let's see. Sunday school. Kids will have Sunday school as normal, and then Matt, I told him that I had a friend growing up with the last name Liegaber, and so now I'm trying not to get tongue Liebarger. Thank you. Matt Liebarger will be doing part two of the adult Sunday school today, and we did a 60-minute journey from Genesis to Revelation last week. Even if you missed that, the second part stands alone on its own, so don't not come just because you didn't go to part one. Please come. You won't regret it. It's still too muddy to do yard work anyway. So stay and join us for adult Sunday school. Also, I'm going to use this platform to say there won't be any elders meeting tomorrow night. That's going to save me an email because Pastor Bob is out of town. And does anybody else have any kinds of announcements? Oh, Jake. Jake came up to me and said that he has been doing a Bible reading program for some time now. He does it with his dad. And are there a couple other people in on that? Yeah, I thought so. So talk to Jake or Bill if you would like to know more about the program that they do. It's part accountability, and then they discuss it. Actually, Jake and Bill, they taunt each other. I've seen some of the text messages before. They make it quite competitive. So if that's your thing, then talk to Jake about that. And also, Kevin Shagg is going to be in the prayer chapel as you walk out. So if you'd like any specific prayer request, he would be happy to pray with you. And with that, go in peace and serve the Lord.